today we're going to be talking about justification. Now, that's a technical word for being innocent. I think children can even understand that. If they don't understand the word, they understand the teaching. You know, they know the difference between being in trouble and then being found innocent, cleared of all charges, able to go play again and have fun. You know, I thank God for our country. You know, our country, we're still innocent until found guilty or proven guilty. You know, someone can bring charges against you, and according to the laws of our country, it's not just you're gone because someone said so. And I thank God for our country. You know, you think about our country, when an individual is charged with a crime today, there are basically two options they have to establish justification. That word we're going to talk about this morning. They may declare innocency right up front. They can say, I didn't do it, and deny the charges. Say, I'm innocent. And what will happen is their attorney will go about to establish their case. They'll attempt to prove their innocence by showing they weren't there, or they did not do it, or could not do it, and then do their best to prove that that person didn't commit that charge. Secondly, they may admit to the charge, but declare they had the right to do it. So that's the second option someone has if they're charged. They can say, yes, I did it, but I had the right to do it. A good example of this is self-defense. Someone may say, yes, I did that, but I did it because of this, and I had every right to take care of myself. Likewise, their attorney will work to prove that they were in the right, that they were correct. They did nothing wrong, and they had every right to do what they did. Either way, if someone goes to court because they're charged, if they're found innocent, the law will have nothing against them. They can go back to life. They can go back to work. They can live because they're innocent. They've been found to be innocent. They will be justified. In other words, they'll be found free of all guilt and of charges. Now, this morning, I wanted to get our minds going in the right direction, because I know more than likely you didn't wake up this morning thinking about the law and going to court unless you're a lawyer, and you're thinking about tomorrow already. But I wanted to get us thinking in the right direction, because we're going to be talking about justification. You see, the Bible teaches that the saved are justified. That's found in Romans 1, being justified. In other words, being innocent, being found innocent of all charges. And so when someone is innocent or found innocent, they're just. They're justified. Today, I think it's vital for us to understand the teaching, but also apply that teaching. To take it and apply it to our hearts and understand that we are now justified before God. And there are three reasons. The first one is because we are justified because there have been serious charges brought against us. Serious charges. Now, if anyone has ever had to go to court for any reason at all, it's not enjoyable if someone has charged you with something. And you have to go and defend yourself or say, I didn't do it, or here's why I did do it. The Bible tells us that God has leveled some great charges against mankind. Each and every one of us. And that's what we're going to look at first this morning. The charges are presented clearly in the Bible. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 2. This is going to be our text this morning, Galatians chapter 2. And we're going to begin, as you're turning there, I also want you to get ready to go over to the book of Romans 1. But Galatians chapter 2 is where we're going to find our main text this morning. In verse 16, he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. I thank you for each that has come out this morning. Please bless us today from your word. Help us to get an understanding of justification. I pray this morning that we, those that are saved, will really understand how you look upon them today, that they're set free, that they're innocent. And if there's anyone here this morning that has not trusted in you as their Savior, I pray today will be the day that they'll recognize their need to come to you and accept you as their Savior. We ask that you bless us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Justification. And the first thought that I want to give to you this morning is that we need to be justified because there are some serious charges brought against us. some serious charges. And those charges are found basically over in the book of Romans, chapter 1. We'll turn there here in a minute. But according to 1 John chapter 3, the Bible tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. In other words, sin is breaking God's law. Now, that's just the basic definition of sin from the Bible. And if we go over to Romans chapter 1, God here gives us a list, or I guess you say some charges against mankind because they have sinned against Him and they have broken His law. Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to read through this passage here, and of course we don't have time to go in depth on each verse, but I'll give some comments afterwards. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity," he says, "whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters," now this is a long list of accusations, "inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." 23 charges, basically, are brought here in this passage against mankind. And it begins with the fact that men and women have denied God. They have rejected Him and moved the other direction, not wanting Him in their life. God was not glorified as God. The people became unthankful. Then it says they became vain in their imaginations. You know, when you leave God, you're going to begin to fill up your minds with all sorts of ideas and thoughts and theories and things to replace God. And the Bible says their foolish heart was darkened. I tell you, without God there is no light, nothing but darkness. And their worship was changed from God to idols. See, they still wanted to worship, they just didn't want to worship God. And that's the charges that God has brought against mankind. And then He talks about their wickedness and the fact that He gave them up to these things. He says He gave them up to uncleanness and to vile affections. Now that's, vile affections, it refers to something that's disgraceful, shameful, and dishonorable before God. And it says they did that which was unseemly, that which is indecent, or that which is shameful, filthy, gross before God. And the Bible says that God gave them up to a reprobate mind. Now that word reprobate means unapproved, worthless, rejected, or cast away. God gave them up. In other words, they want to go that direction, God is going to let them go that direction. They want to run away from Him, He's going to let them run. Run as fast as they want and run as far as they want. You see, this was done because they denied God and chose to live in gross sin. Because man gave up God, God says, "I'll give you up as well. You can go." You see, God will often give men what they want. And many are going to find out later that that's not what they should have looked for. But that's what is going to happen. That's what's happened to mankind. It says they were filled with sin and wickedness. You know, sadly, many men and women delight in sin today and wickedness. I mean, they love sin. They love wickedness. They want everybody to not only accept their sin, but they want everybody to encourage them in their sin and to join them in their sin and to be part of their sin. That's why there are so many commercials for sinful living, because everyone wants you to join them in sin. You see, they love their sin. You know, I think what we find in this passage is man has fallen. Now today, and many of our schools are going to tell you that man is evolving, that we're going the other direction, we're getting better and better and better, and we're, I don't know if that's correct English, but we're going that direction, and we're climbing higher and higher. The Bible says, guess what? You've tripped and you're falling and you're going down. It's going the other way. You're not evolving, you're devolving because you have left God. And instead of getting better, you're getting worse. Instead of becoming morally right and morally correct, instead you're leaving all those things. And you're becoming wicked and you're becoming sinful. And you're becoming a shameful people. You see, man has fallen from an ideal height and is guilty before God. See, God has leveled 23 charges, and we've read them. We're not going to go through them in detail here this morning. You can read them and study them for yourself. And I tell you, see, God has leveled these charges against mankind. 23 of them. These sinful acts and these sinful deeds. Could you imagine getting a knock on your door and someone saying, hey, you need to go to court. Here's 23 charges against you. I tell most of us, oh, I better get a lawyer. God has said there's 23 charges against mankind. 23 charges. Now stop and let's consider this for a minute. Are we guilty of these charges? How about we read through history, and you know what you find through history? You read the history of any country, even our country. I love our country. Love the United States of America. But when you read through the history of any country, you know what you find? You'll find that history is riddled with violence and warfare. That history is riddled with men and women, at times, not all, but men and women who live for themselves. Men and women who, I tell you what, we go through this list, we can find those charges. That's what we find when we look at history. I read where one historian said there has always been war on earth, ever since Cain killed Abel. Always been war. Somewhere, someone's fighting. You see, we have not evolved into something better. We have gone away from God, and we have gone into sin. You read the front page of today's paper, I'm sure you'll find plenty that'll back this up. You get online, you go to any one of the news stations and their home page, and you'll find nothing but stories of sin and filth. And some of those are just discouraging and depressing to see what people are doing to each other, to see how people act and how people live, or to see what people promote and the sin that they love and they live in. I mean, you even watch a good television show, you got to watch the commercials, and sometimes those commercials have all kinds of filth that come with it. You realize if we would just stop and consider what's going on around us, I think we'd have to admit that yes, mankind in general is guilty of these charges. We have sinned against God, and we are living in that sin. Now, how about we get a little bit more personal this morning? A little more personal. Let's look at our own life. Because I know there may be some that will stop and look and say, well, you know what, I've never murdered, I've never raped, and you go down this list and say, I didn't do that, I didn't do this, and you know, I've done that before myself, looked at this list and said, ah, that's not me, it's not me. Look with me at Romans chapter 2. You know that verse, that chapter ends there in verse 31, or verse 32, but look what it says in verse 1 of Romans 2. He says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and His forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee, he says, to repentance? I think if we were all honest, now this morning, I'm not going to ask you to go back and look through your entire life. I imagine you've already done that. If we were all honest, we'd probably all come to the conclusion that we've sinned against God. At least once. At least once. For me, it's at least once today already. I've already made mistakes. We have sinned against God. Now, we may not have committed some of these sins that are listed here, but you think of some of the sins. I mean, if you start going through the Ten Commandments, even after we're saved, we haven't always put God first. I'm sure there are times you did what you wanted to do without even seeking God's will in the matter. You just did it because you wanted to do it. You know, the Bible teaches, Jesus made it clear concerning adultery. It wasn't just the physical act. It began in the heart. That you would lust after someone in the heart and in the mind. See, when you begin to think of the sins of this world, we're honest to say, hey, yeah, I've made those mistakes. What happens is pride, and that's what he's addressing here in Romans 2. Pride leads many to believe that they are above sin. That they're righteous because, you know what? I'm better than so-and-so. At least I didn't do that. You ever caught yourself saying that? At least that's not me. At least I didn't do that. You see, what happens is we can easily look at someone else and justify our actions in our life because they have made a big mistake or they have done something wicked and gross, and we can say, well, I'm not that bad. Well, you may not have committed that sin, but before God, we're all sinners. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we find later in that chapter. So each of us has sinned before God. And that's what we need to come to the understanding of. So what about those charges this morning? See, I'm going to give you something to think about as we move on. Someday, each of us will stand before God. Hebrews 9 verifies this. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We have two appointments in life that we will not miss. Guaranteed. Death and judgment. We'll all stand before God. We'll all give an account. And see, the Bible tells us that. Now, you begin to think about the charges that God has brought against mankind and the fact that we have broken those. What are we going to do? Is God going to hold us accountable? Let's go back to our text, and we're going to look at Galatians chapter 2. We've seen the charges leveled against mankind, and now let's look about what we can do about this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified, in other words, not found innocent, by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. He says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now let's talk about the law for a minute. He says, no flesh will be justified by the works of the law. In other words, nobody will be found innocent based upon the law and their life put up against the law. And the reason being, and this is our second point here this morning, is the law condemns all that break it. The law condemns all that break it. You see, we can deny the charges. Think back to someone going to court. The first thing that someone can do is they can say, I'm innocent. You know, we can try to stand before God and say, guess what? I didn't do that. I'm innocent. And God may say, well, yes, you're innocent of that. You didn't murder anybody. But we start going down that list, and God's going to find something that we're guilty on. And we're going to have to look and say, oh, oops, you're right. I guess I did tell that lie. I guess I did cheat. I guess I did do this or I did do that at that point in my life. You see, the only way that we can be justified, so to speak, by the law is to be perfect. Absolutely. From the day that you were born to the day that you die, absolutely perfect. Which is impossible because we have a sinful nature and that leads us to do sinful deeds. And it just takes one offense to be found guilty. I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations to help bring this to bring it home for our understanding. You know, a man may lose his temper. How many of you have a temper? A man may lose his temper. I mean, really lose it. Not just get mad and quit playing or quit talking to somebody, but really lose their temper and commit a terrible crime. That's happened. And up until that point in their life, they may have been a good individual, went to work every day, worked hard, maybe went to church. I mean, had all these good deeds. Well, when they go stand before that judge or before that jury, they may say, you know what, I did this and I did that, and yes, I made a mistake. I was mad. I was angry. I shouldn't have done that. But guess what? I've been good to my family up to that point. I did this. I did that. You know, that judge will probably look and say, you know, you did do all those things, but you have to answer for this offense. You're guilty and you're accountable. Here's another illustration. You know, men have escaped prison, and women too have escaped prison, and they've went missing. Couldn't find them. Got away. And they even began new lives. Some go all the way across the country, start a new life, have a new family, get a new job, have a new name. Years go by, and detectives who stick on the trail, work hard, find them. You read about these stories occasionally. And they find them, they hunt them down, they get them, and they arrest them. Knock on the door, go to work where they're working, and grab them and bring them in. You know, some of those people may have lived well afterwards. I've read of stories of people who went on to be good, what you would call productive citizens in our country. And they may have lived well and had a family and done right. And they may even try to use that as a reason why that they shouldn't be brought back to jail and put in prison. But if the judge and does their job, or if the, I guess you say, the police force does their job and everything is done according to the law, that individual will have to go back and they will have to pay the price for their mistake. They will have to finish their sentence because they were found guilty. One offense. You see, all their good deeds don't outweigh that one deed because they were found guilty. Likewise, this morning, good deeds, you can have a whole multitude of them. Good deeds before God will not eliminate the sin that's also before God. And there are many people that are attempting to do this. They're hoping that when they stand before God, that God will consider all these good deeds that they have piled up. You know, they were good to their neighbor. They did this. They went to church. And the list goes on and on and on. And they're hoping that all those good deeds will outweigh that one bad deed. Well, the problem is they're accountable for that sin. Romans 6:23, what's it say? For the wages of sin is death. See, they're accountable for that sin, that one deed. That needs to be accounted for. So, nobody can stand before God and declare to be innocent. God will say you're accountable. You've broken my law. How about secondly? Some may say, well, we'll stand before God and we'll declare we had the right to do those deeds. I think that's what's happening today in our country. Hear me out on this one. I think there are many attempting to justify their sin before God. That's how they're living. I tell you what, they don't want to leave their sin because they love it. But they still want God's blessings in their life. They still want to be able to pray to God and seek God and talk to God and feel good about going to church. But they don't want to leave their sin. And so they're attempting to justify their sin before God and remaining in it. That's why there are so many, I guess you can call them perversions of the Bible being written today. I mean, they're coming out left and right, all these versions. And if you read them, they're changing God's Word. And the reason being is because people are writing them with an agenda, trying to fit their teachings into God's Word so that way they can justify their sin and they can live in sin before God. That's not going to cut it. Because when we stand before God, someday, we're going to be accountable for our deeds. You see, the law declares us guilty because it's God's law. Now, we can rewrite men's laws, but God's law is settled. Because God is perfect and God is unchangeable. So His law is settled. And the law declares us guilty. You can argue all you want today concerning sin. But the facts are undeniable. Sin is sin. If we've broken God's law, you've broken God's law. If you're living in sin, you're living in sin. You can even try to deny the facts. But someday God will hold you accountable. He's going to remind you of past deeds. Remind you of how you lived and what you've done. And He'll probably also remind you that it's in the law, that you shouldn't have lived that way. It's incorrect. We can work as hard as we desire, but no amount of good deeds will remove the sin that must be answered for. You see, that's the problem. That's why the Bible tells us that the law will not justify anyone. Because the law will condemn us, because the law will say we are guilty. So we cannot be justified by the law. So what should we do? You know, there are some that are going to complain and gripe about it. Some are going to do what I've already mentioned, attempt to change things and try to change God's Word so that way they can live in, I guess, the way they want to. Then you're going to have some who become angry and blame God. I've never understood that. I guess it's the sinful nature. Instead of blaming God, they should look within and say, maybe I should get it settled with God. Finally, you know what you're also going to have? You're going to have some who are going to ignore it. Just say, well, there is no God, or I'm not going to care about it, it's not true, and they're going to ignore it. You know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us there's an answer. Now, we can't be justified by the law, but God said, I'm going to provide a way for you to be justified, for you to be found innocent before me. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 2. It says there, in verse 16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Notice what it says. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified, he says, by the faith of Christ. This morning, God has provided a way to be justified, to be declared innocent, to be found, I guess, free of all charges before Him. And that's because of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus was sent to take away the sin of the world. It tells us in Hebrews 9, verse 26, that He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. You see, Jesus came down and was born there in that manger, and He lived a perfect life, went to that cross, died on that cross so that He could remove sin. He could pay the price for sin. And Jesus, now let's understand this. Jesus made it clear while He was on earth that men and women were sinners. You see, He didn't come down to declare us innocent. Jesus didn't come down here to establish a defense for us, so to speak. He didn't come down here and say, guess what, I'm going to get this defense worked up for you, and I'm going to stand before God, and we're going to get this settled. He didn't come down to establish a defense. Actually, when He came down, He made it clear we are guilty. We are sinners. We have went against God. We are accountable. But He came not to clear us, but to pay the price. You see, that's what we're going to, for the next just few minutes, I want you to think about Jesus Christ and the price that He paid for sin. And because of that price that has been paid, God will accept all those that come through Jesus Christ. God will forgive them and He'll accept them because the price has been paid. Now think about the price. Jesus lived a life that was perfect. That's where it begins with. No man could die for anybody else in their place if they weren't perfect. Now we can die, you know, for someone so they can continue living here on earth. But if we can't account for our sins, how can we be accountable for someone else's? See, Jesus lived a perfect life. A life that was according to the law that would be matched up, and the law would have no charge against Him. It was perfect. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus took our place on the cross and He paid the price for sin. 1 Peter 2 says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. You know that day when Christ went to the cross, He took your sin upon Him. He took my sin upon Him. All of our sins. He went up there and He bore our sins. He went up there to pay the price for sin. And that's what the reason why we can be set free. See, our sins have not been ignored. Our sins have not been set aside. You see, today a lot of people are hoping that God will just ignore their sins and look at their good deeds. Or that He'll set aside all those bad deeds and that He'll just reward them according to what they did that was good. God's not going to do that. God is just and God is righteous. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ paid that price. I think it's good for us to remember this morning. If you're here and you're saved, it's good for you to always remember that your sins have not been ignored, but the price has been paid. I tell you what, we owe a debt to Jesus Christ, a debt we could never pay. And that's where we really fall down on our knees and are thankful to Jesus for paying that price of sin, for loving us and being willing to go to the cross in our place. And so Jesus really is our substitute on the cross, or our Savior. And God will save or justify by grace and through faith those that place their trust in Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. We've read this. It's a verse I think you're probably familiar with, but I'll read it to you again this morning. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You realize the reason why we will not boast in heaven is because we will not deserve to be there in the first place. That's why we're not going to boast. We're not going to run around heaven saying, I did this to get here. I think we're going to be humbled for all eternity, knowing that we're there because Jesus Christ paid the price. Knowing we're there because by His grace we are saved. Because He took our place on that cross. You see, that's what being justified is all about. And those that repent of their sin and believe on Christ, the Bible tells us that they will be saved. Turn with me back, if you would, back to our passage in Galatians 2. And I want you just to notice in verse 20. We'll go down to verse 20 of Galatians 2. And Paul says there, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Here this morning, if you've placed your faith in Christ, Christ liveth in you. You have life in Jesus Christ. And you are saved by His works, by His death, by His blood that was shed on Calvary. And if you have put your faith in Christ, then this morning, God has declared you justified. Think about that for a minute. You know, at the beginning of this message, we were talking about those charges. I made the comment, you know, if someone knocked on your door this morning and said, here's some charges. In a sense, God has really, through the Scriptures, has said, there's some charges against you. But if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then right now, God has said, you are justified. You are found innocent. You are free of guilt, and you are free of these charges. And so God now looks upon you as if you had never sinned. God looks upon you as if you are righteous because of Jesus Christ. God will accept you as if you have never sinned. God will love you as if you have never sinned. God will be present with you today as if you had never sinned. And God will bless you with His glory for all eternity as if you had never sinned. You know, this morning, that's what justification is. Being declared innocent. Being declared righteous. And if you're saved here this morning, you are declared innocent because of Jesus Christ. Now, you know that there was sin in the past. Like I said, that sin has been paid for. You're declared innocent. No different. No different than an individual going to perhaps down to the bank. And they go up to you and say, you know, I'm going to pay off your mortgage. That'd be a blessing. I want to pay off this debt for you. And they go down to the bank and they look up, they have them they look up the how much you owe. And right then and there they get out their checkbook, or maybe they pull out cash, they're that wealthy. And they pull out cash and they say, here it is. Paid in full. And then they give you the receipt. I tell you what, that'd be a blessing. Free of that debt. It's gone. And even though you didn't pay it, you're still set free of it because they paid it for you. You are blessed on behalf of that. And you can rejoice. And the bank can no longer go to you and say, we need this money, because it's settled. It's done. You see, that's what being justified is. God has paid the price. Jesus has paid the price and says, you are set free. You are found innocent of those charges. You're not going to be held accountable. The law is no longer condemn you, because you have placed your faith in me and I have paid the price. You know, this morning before God, you are either guilty of sin or justified through Christ. Understand, the Bible mentions no middle ground. It doesn't. You can read the Bible through, beginning to end, you will find no middle ground where someone can be in waiting or in hoping to have this settled. The Bible says you're either with God or you're against God. You're either saved here this morning or you're still guilty in your sins. You're either justified or you have those charges hanging over your head. Which is it this morning? I encourage you to examine your heart. Make sure that you're saved. Make sure that there was a time where you went to Christ and trusted in Him as your Savior, and you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're justified here this morning, then praise God. Praise God for His rich grace. Praise God for His love. Praise God for His mercy, for His forgiveness. Praise God that you've been declared innocent before Him. And if you're guilty here this morning, perhaps there's one here that has examined their heart through this message or has come to the understanding that they have never settled that. They have never placed their faith in Christ. They have never sought His forgiveness and trusted in Him as their Savior. If that's you this morning, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can be justified and you can be declared innocent before God simply by believing on Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings You provided. I thank You. Thank You for dying on the cross for our sins. And I thank You so much for Your grace and mercy. And I thank You for my salvation. I thank You for all those that are saved here this morning. And we thank You so much, Lord, for loving us and caring for us. And if there happens to be one here today, Lord, as You know the hearts of each one, if there happens to be one here today that needs to get that settled, I pray today will be the day that they seek You for salvation. We ask that You bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for a few minutes. As the piano begins to play, I encourage you to search your own hearts. Search your hearts. Search your hearts. Are you saved? Have you been justified? Are those charges still hanging over your head? If they are, they can be taken care of. Trust in Christ as your Savior. And this morning, if you're saved, praise God. Maybe today you want to just pray to God from your heart. Thank Him for salvation. Thank Him for declaring you innocent and for looking upon you as His and belonging to Him.